It's time for Language Lab. Today on Language Lab, we're going to be discussing language change and specifically how the language we use to refer to someone's gender has changed over time. Here to chat with us is Dr. Celeste Rodriguez-Luro, language whiz. I want to pick her brain all the time. She's got the best brain for language. She's the director of Language Lab and the chair of linguistics at the University of Western Australia. Good morning, Dr. Celeste.
Good morning, Pam, and thanks once again for your wonderful introduction, which makes me feel happy indeed.
Oh, that's good. That's what we're going for here on a Thursday. We're brightening the mood. It's happening. All right. So today, Dr. Celeste, we're talking about language and gender. Now, obviously, those two things inform each other when we start to think about how everyday life we use language to refer to other people's gender. When it comes to gender, how has language changed?
Yeah. So language has changed quite dramatically, actually. So if we were to consider some nouns, and by nouns I mean words that we use to refer to things or ideas in the world, once upon a time it was quite okay to refer to the entire human race using words such as mankind. This is no longer the case. These days we use the term humankind to include all humans. An area of language that has really changed is the pronominal system of English. By pronominal, I mean the system of pronouns. A pronoun is a little word that stands for another word. So I may say something like Krishna and Jade are my cousins. Krishna and Jade live in Darwin. Or I may choose to replace the words Krishna and Jade in the second sentence with the pronoun they, ending up with Krishna and Jade are my cousins. They live in Darwin. So that's what we mean by a pronoun. So the pronoun they in this example makes it possible to avoid sounding repetitive or redundant. Now, when it comes to pronouns to refer to third-person pronouns that we use to refer to a third person, there's a whole world beyond grammatical structure. And in fact, pronouns can be affirming to someone's gender identity, gender expression, or they may be a matter of preference.
It's pretty important to think about pronouns and how we're using them. But how exactly does it work when we're thinking about how pronouns are affirming?
Yeah, so in terms of gender identity, which is something we sort of need to get our heads around before we can make sense of how to use pronouns correctly, some people are cisgender, which means that the gender that they were assigned at birth matches that person's gender. There are transgender people where a person's gender at birth does not match their current gender. Some people may choose to be call themselves gender non-conforming, and that includes people whose gender identity does not necessarily align with the Western female-male binary. Now, pronouns are really important because they allow us to use the right terms to refer to people in a way that respects their gender identity. We all use pronouns. We need to use third-person pronouns a lot when we're referring to someone else. Some people's pronouns meet societal expectations, such that if someone appears to you to be a woman, you may assume that their third-person pronoun is she, but that's not the case. So pronouns are something that we need to respect, and we need to make sure that we're using people's correct pronouns. So rather than base our choice on some sort of assumption about some person's gender, what we need to do is just make sure that we're using the correct pronouns.
It's important that we do, and it's important that we establish them. You know, for example, my pronouns are she, her, for anyone listening at home. Celeste, what are your pronouns?
Yeah, same, she, her.
Yep. So what options are there for people to refer to gender diverse people?
Yeah, so singular they has emerged as the go-to pronoun for gender diverse people or for those who wish to challenge the rigidity of the Western gender binary. So the term non-binary refers to someone who does not view their identity as aligning with the female-male binary most of us have been socialized into. And more people are using gender-neutral pronouns. So instead of using she or he, many people now prefer gender-neutral options. And singular they is one of the most popular ones. really popular, in fact, in 2019, They was Word of the Year because it had seen an increase of over 300% in searches for its definition online.
It's important that we know what this means and that we refer to people correctly. And if this is the pronouns that they do want to use, then we use them. But some people find this a bit tricky, right? Some people are a bit confused by using the word they as a singular pronoun.
Yeah. And so what we need to know about this, especially given that this is a linguistics segment, is that if people think that they can only ever be used in the plural, you know, some people will say, well, it's a plural pronoun, why would I use it to refer to a single individual in third person? Well, as it turns out, singular they has actually been around in the English language since at least 1375. So the 14th century. So it has been around for a very, very long time. So it is very much an English, you know, a use that the English language.
It's not a newfangled. It's not a newfangled thing. It's been around for a bit. My favorite example is when I'm using that as an example to, for example, my parents or somebody who maybe is confused by using they as a singular pronoun. I'll always say, well, what if you found someone's wallet? And you say, oh, someone's lost their wallet. And that's something that we've been saying for ages. You know, it's something that has been implemented into our vernacular. But some people are finding it tricky. For those people, why is it important to use someone's pronouns correctly?
And that's the thing, you know, it's not just a cosmetic thing that we're doing just to sound right or be politically correct. There's actual research that shows that using people's pronouns can actually save lives. So recent research by the Trevor Project, for example, has shown that transgender and non-binary youth attempt suicide less when their pronouns are respected. It's as simple as that. And this is huge because 1 in 5 transgender and non-binary youth have attempted suicide in the last 12 months. So if we can use a pronoun, if we can also make people know what our pronouns are preferred or our pronouns are in it for every new interaction, you are kind of creating a welcoming environment where people feel like their identity, their gender identity is respected, and that can make a huge difference.
And it's important that everyone is establishing their pronouns right, because, you know, everyone establishing them doesn't make it odd for someone that may have pronouns that aren't, you know, predictable or based on assumption, then it makes it less odd. So if everyone's establishing their pronouns in situations, and we see it more now, you know, on email signatures, we see it in bios, we see it when people introduce themselves in new work situations. So it is important to establish that as a regular form of identification and a regular form of communication. But how do we get this right? How do we go about getting this right all the time?
Yeah, I mean, it is tricky, especially if we feel that we've never done this before. But it's not about needing to understand why someone chooses a certain pronoun, or making judgments about people. Nobody really owes anyone an explanation about their pronouns and why they use them. What I tend to do, and I'm sure that you and your colleagues are doing similar things, is when you're introducing yourself to someone you have not met before, you may say, hi, I'm Celeste and my pronouns are she, her. How should I refer to you? You can add your pronouns, as you were saying, to your email signature, to your Zoom account. You can add them on Twitter. You can simply state them such that people then feel free and safe to state their own pronouns. And if we feel unsure of someone's pronouns, we can just use the pronouns they and them to begin with before committing to using he or she, which is within that binary that not everyone feels aligned to. And if we make mistakes, it's quite okay to say, I'm sorry, and move on. The more we apologize about a mistake, the more we make a situation uncomfortable. People understand that sometimes some of us are learning and we'll get things wrong. But this is so important because this type of language use is where social justice comes to the fore again. Once again, we've talked about social justice so many times. And why does it come to the fore? Well, it comes up because this is about inclusion and diversity, and it's about making people feel as though they are safe in the use of language. So to avoid injustice, we really must use language to allow people to feel included and respected for who they are.
It's really important, and inclusion and diversity in language have been the things that we've been focusing on for the last few weeks here at Language Lab. Now, if you do have any questions, they can be on that topic or they can be otherwise. You can absolutely get in touch with us on 0405 921 921. You can call into the studio 9260 9210 or chuck us an email studio@rtrfm.com.au. Now, Celeste, we have one question this week, and it was a question we had last week, but I didn't get the chance to ask you. Now, this isn't to do with diversity and inclusion, but it is a question that's been raised. All right, the cultural phenomenon of the word zhuzh. You know this word, right, Celeste? You know,
yeah. It's
like a weird word, and there's a cultural phenomenon about how to spell it. And I wondered how we've found ourselves in a funny mess where we don't know how to spell this word. Now, if you want to absorb that question and then we can talk about it next week, we can do that. But it's a pretty weird word, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting question because it kind of takes us back to something we discussed at the very beginning of Language Lab this year, which is about convention and the fact that language is highly conventional and that until some sort of formal academy or dictionary or, some official institution gets their hands on how to spell things, people will continue to say, well, no, this is the way you spell it. No, this is wrong. And especially social media, where you can see so much variability in how language is used. But why don't we discuss this further next week and maybe bring in some insight into what's going on? I think that would be a really great idea.
What's going on with the word? So get in touch. Yeah. Let me know how you spell zhuzh. In my head, I think it's like J-O-O-J, but that's wrong. So there's all sorts of spellings going on out there. So get in touch on 0405 91 91. Let us know how you spell it, and we'll talk a little bit more about why we all have so much trouble spelling this word next week. Thank you so much for joining us on the record today, Celeste.
Pleasure.
That was Dr. Celeste Rodriguez-Luro, Director of Language Lab and Chair of Linguistics at the University of Western Australia. She's a star, she's an icon, and she'll be back next week.